This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from studios in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 5 o'clock standard wartime, Thursday, January the 1st, 1942. The Martin and McKenna Show is on the air. This is Jack McKenna wishing you a happy 1942. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by with the latest information regarding the war in the Pacific, in Europe, and here at home. We'll bring you weather and some music for your enjoyment as well. But first, we have the Northwest Airlines 5 o'clock news. Save time and fly Northwest. It's just $21.50 to fly to Chicago. Now, here's Lou Martin.
And a happy 1942 to you, Jack, and to our listeners.
We'll be trading New Year's predictions later, Lou, so stay tuned.
In the news at this hour, it appears the United States and the Philippine forces have been driven out of Manila, and the capital of that island nation has fallen to the Japanese. The last reports from Manila radio was yesterday morning, and no more reports have been heard since General Douglas MacArthur's dispatch that wounded soldiers were being evacuated from Manila hospitals. This does not mean the fight for the Philippines has ended, however. Military officials in Washington say the battle will continue, but will be outside of Manila in the jungle areas. Reports from Tokyo, monitored by the United Press in London and in New York, say that Manila has been captured. The Imperial Japanese Navy reports sinking of an American destroyer and two small patrol boats as it attacked the Corregidor Fortress at the mouth of Manila Bay. Corregidor was attacked by land forces as well as naval and the Imperial Air Force. General MacArthur's last communique, made public by the War Department, indicates a desperate situation. His headquarters reports that the Japanese dive bombers control the roads from the sky, and that, quoting now, the enemy is driving in great force from both north and south. Our lines are being pushed back. The Japanese are using great quantities of tanks and armored units, unquote. On the European and Russian fronts, Adolf Hitler is predicting the smashing of the Soviet troops this year. In his New Year's orders to his troops, recorded by the Associated Press in London, the Nazi chief says that Europe and Germany cannot afford to lacerate itself with war every 25 years. The Führer blamed Anglo-American and Jewish conspirators for creating this war and hopes that blood spilt in this war will be the last on European soil. Citing victories in Finland, Russia, Hungary, and Romania, Hitler told his troops, and we quote him now, "We shall again get hold of this enemy of mankind, and we shall beat him until the Jewish, capitalistic, and Bolshevik lust for destruction has been broken. The German people will believe me. I would have preferred peace instead of war," unquote. In rebuttal, official Soviet radio was broadcasting that every German will be chased out of Russia in 1942. Meanwhile, the U.S. Navy in Alaska is on high alert. The Navy's ready in case of a Japanese attack on the Aleutian Islands and is warning merchant ships in the area to beware. In Washington, U.S. Attorney General Biddle is ordering all German, Italian, and Japanese nationals to turn in shortwave radio receivers and cameras to local police. They have until Monday to do that. Civil Defense Director Fiorello LaGuardia says that people who live on the east and west coasts may need gas masks. LaGuardia says that those masks probably won't be ready for civilians until late this year or early 1943. Northwest Airlines News Time is 5:06. Here's Jack McKenna with a word from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou. And if you're sick and tired of driving or taking buses or whatever, or your bicycle to Chicago, how about hopping on a Northwest Airlines flight for only $21.50 to Chicago?
get there quicker by air, gain time for productive work before you leave or after you arrive. Cost? Why, scarcely more than for ground transportation. Delicious meals free, stewardess service, no tips, no extra charges. Fly to Speed National Defense. From Upper Wisconsin, telephone, your reservations collect. Hotel Duluth is the home here of Northwest Airlines, and it's at Melrose 7706. Northwest Airlines. Fly it the next time you want to go to Chicago.
Superior and Duluth docks are taking a breather now that the shipping season is over. It'll reopen sometime in April, but final figures for the 1941 season show all iron ore transportation records were smashed. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the numbers for us.
Nearly 28 million tons of ore was shipped from Superior, more than any other port on the Great Lakes. Superior's Great Northern, Northern Pacific, and Sioux Line ore docks are getting ready for an even busier 1942. All in all, 83 million tons of iron ore traveled from Lake Superior ports, and 111 million tons of all cargo was shipped during the 259-day season from Lake Superior through the St. Mary's Falls Canal. This all translates into jobs, many jobs. State Employment Office Director J.P. Budzinski in Superior says the last 6 months of 1941 had the greatest demand for skilled workers than ever. He says there have been a long list of unfilled jobs, and employers are begging them for more workers locally. Mr. Budzinski says unemployment claims for last year are almost half as much as 1938, during the days of the Great Depression, Lou.
Well, thanks, Mike. And we have a guest with us now to talk about the progress made in 1941 and the continued demands that will be made on one of our most important companies. Good evening, Superior Water, Light, and Power Company General Manager Howard Underhill.
You know, these days running an electric company is a big responsibility, and we want the citizens to know what we're doing. I just have to say that there's lots to do. You could say there's electricity in the air.
Well, I suppose you could. Now, Mr. Underhill, there's been a lot of investment in the past year, and more to come in 1942.
Well, Superior Water, Light, and Power Company saw this national emergency coming, you know, and we got cracking. On March 26th last, we spent $34,000 to build a new substation at Ogden Avenue and 28th Street. Now, we don't expect the average citizen to understand this, so, you know, if I'm talking too fast or getting too complicated, you just let me know, Lou, all right?
Okay, will do.
Well, you know, we import most of our electricity from MPNL, and until this system of substations was put in place, we were at the mercy of a couple of high-power lines coming in from Duluth. Well, that's not as much of a problem anymore. One line goes down, bingo, bingo, bang, the substations do some automatic switching, and bing, no outage in Superior. Hey, that's important. As your reporter, Simon's just got through saying, those ore docks have to keep operating, and so do the other plants in town. And, you know, that brings me to Part B, the Winslow Steam Electric Station. This $1.5 million facility is a one-third finished. We're going to have the Winslow plant operating sometime this spring.
Busy times for you, then.
You know, Lou, when the call comes to help in this national emergency, by golly, well, heck, I'm just proud to say that SWLNP, this is a job that's got to be done. Superior is a vital link to our nation's defense.
Well, congratulations on the new Winslow plant, and thank you for coming
in. Anytime, Lou, anytime. Oh, and a happy 1942 to you and yours.
And to you, sir. Mr. Howard Underhill, General Manager of Superior Water, Light, and Power Company, with the news of upgrades here at the head of the lakes. Ashland Harbor reports the busiest shipping season since 1929, with more than 6 million tons of iron ore shipped in 1941. The Chicago and Northwestern Railroad dock leads the way with more than 4 million tons, and the Sioux Line shipped almost 2 million tons. A half million tons of coal was also shipped, with 53 vessels calling at the two Race coal docks in Ashland, 14 freighters at the Clarkson dock. 120,000 cords of pulpwood was also unloaded at the Ashland port. 8 people died on Ashland County roads last year, one of its worst ever. Three of those deaths were from hit-and-run incidents, two of which are still under investigation. Six of the deaths were in the city of Ashland, with the others in Highbridge and Sanborn. There are new trends in the Superior Police Department from 1941. Police Chief Arthur Buchanan says they're working with the Federal Bureau of Investigation in needs of national defense. Lieutenant Peter Ostrom and Sergeant Hector Berg both attended the FBI training school. Part of this means investigating suspect aliens. Next is safer traffic. The manual stop-and-go sign was put up on Tower and Belknap last year. It was supposed to be electric, but the city council cut to save money. And lastly, Chief Buchanan says more two-way radio sets were installed in 1941 and will be installed in 1942. The chief says the two-way sets will become as common as the one-way radio was in 1939. He says the most severe test was last Halloween, when they received hundreds of phone calls for mischief. And Jack Superior is losing two visitors this week, involuntary visitors, shall we say. C.H. Lay and William Bell were only too happy to leave. After viewing the area since August from behind bars at the Douglas County Jail. The two were carnival workers at the Henny Brothers at the Tri-State Fair. They were convicted of assaulting Duluthians Harold Carlson and Gilmore Stommy with a hammer and a club. Judge Archibald McKay reduced their sentence from a year to 4 months if they'd leave town. And they obliged, Jack.
And good riddance. Some of those carnival workers are tough as loot. Well, good listeners, those dog days of August seem like a long time ago, don't they? The forecast for this first day of 1942 from the United States Weather Bureau in downtown Duluth calls for lows tonight of 15 to 20 degrees below zero, after a high today of just 3 below zero. That cold wave that hit Tuesday is sticking with us, you know. Well, now, maybe we can heat things up a bit with some new music just released for 1942. How about that? First, we'll hear this hit from last year. Let's swing and sway with Sammy Kay and his orchestra on station KUWS, broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes. Sammy Kay and his orchestra and Three Penny Opera. Very nice. If you're not swinging, you're swaying with Sammy Kay. Friends, you can follow the tide of war in both the Orient and in Europe for just the price of a postage stamp and 10 cents. Clip the coupon in the Evening Telegram today and mail it in, and you'll get your full color maps and be able to chart the battle against the enemies of freedom. The good people at Central Co-op Wholesale in Superior say, "March on, democracy." With central buying, co-ops are able to save members money and do it the democratic way. Membership is open to all people, regardless of race, creed, or color. So join the Central Co-op in Superior. And this note from the Duluth Superior Transit Company. It's going to cost a bit more to ride the bus. 10 cents a ride, 5 cents for school children, and 50 cents for 5 tokens. That went into effect at midnight. Still a good bargain, the Duluth Superior Transit Company. And we've got sports coming up, friends, but stay tuned. Let's hear from Kay Kaiser, Jingle, Jangle, Jingle, on the Martin and McKenna Show on KUWS.
Yippee-yay, there'll be no wedding bells for today. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
jingle, jangle,
as I go riding merrily along.
Jingle, jangle,
and they sing, "Oh, ain't you glad you're single?"
Jingle, jangle,
and that song ain't so very far from wrong.
Jingle, jangle,
oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell.
Though I may have done some fooling, this is why I never fell. 'Cause I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
jingle, jangle,
as I go riding merrily along.
Jingle, jangle,
they sing, "Oh, ain't you glad you're single?"
Jingle, jangle,
and that song ain't so very far from wrong.
Jingle, jangle.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle.
As I go riding merrily along.
As I go riding merrily along.
They sing, "Oh, ain't you glad?"
And they sing, "Oh, ain't you glad?"
And that song ain't so very far from wrong.
And that song ain't so very far from wrong.
Brand new for 1942, folks, that's Jingle, Jangle, Jingle on Station KUWS, singing were Julie Conway and Harry Babbitt. Just what will the new year bring? Lou and Harriet will look into their crystal ball coming up. How about that, Paul Guggenheimer? Rapid Ray is off today.
So they send in the second string.
Oh, now, hey, son, think of it as age before beauty, or something like that.
Couple of big stories for you today, Jack. The Ashland Roundballers resume play this weekend against the Ironwood Quints at Dodd Gymnasium. Both teams are winless so far, with the Pergolders of Ashland standing at 2 losses, same as Ironwood. Wakefield and Bessemer lead the division, while Hurley is 3rd at 2-1. The National Professional Football League All-Stars will square off against the league champion Chicago Bears on Sunday, January the 4th. League Commissioner Elmer Layden announced the All-Star team, including Green Bay Packers quarterback Larry Craig, halfback Cecil Isbell, and Don Hudson. All the proceeds go to the Naval Relief Society. Well, the cream of the Superior hockey crop will be put together in one outstanding All-Star team this year. The first practice is going on now at the 26th and Tower Outdoor Arena. They'll have a new name. Instead of the Northwestern Oilers, the Superior Sextet will be called the Tidall Flyers, made up of mostly of players from Alouise last year. This year, they'll combine the best from Hardy's Town Club of South Superior, the Belknap Merchants from Central Rink, and Northwestern Oil. Listen to these hockey stars, Jack. Jack Knutson, Bob Davidson, Bob Lundgren, Ray Matushak, Dwayne Levins, Bob Oyas, Ted Lucinski, Ralph Hope, and H. Martinson. The all-important goaltenders will be Chuck Podven and George Smith. And there's one other thing, Jack.
I'm waiting with bated breath, Gooks.
Well, the 26th and Tower Arena will be widened and lengthened this winter, and lights will be added so they can play night games. Real modern stuff.
Better be good lights, Gooks. I'd hate to have a puck screaming at me with dim lighting.
You got that right, buddy. So this is Paul Guggenheimer, and as Rapid Ray likes to say, everybody loves a good sport.
Thanks, Gooks. Now, friends, here's the music of Alvino Ray on Station KUWS, broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes, the King Sisters, and the Strict Polka.
There's a burlesque theater where the gang loves to go to see Queenie, the cutie of the burlesque show. And the thrill of the evening is when out Queenie skips and the band plays the polka while she strips.
Take it off! Take it off!
Cries a voice from the rear.
Take it off! Take it off!
Soon that's all you can hear.
Why, she's always a lady, even in pantomime. So she stops, and always just in time.
As wholesome as the flowers in May, and she hopes to retire to the farm someday. But you can't buy a farm until you're up in the chips. So the band plays the polka while she strips.
Take it off, take it off.
All the customers shout,
down in front, down in front,
while the band beats it out.
But she's always a lady, even in pantomime. So she stops, and always just in time.
Kabot. But there's one big advantage if the music's hot. It's a fast moving exit just in case something rips. And the band plays the polka while I strip.
Drop around, take it in. It's the best in the West.
Take it off, take it off.
You can yell with the rest.
Stick around when it's over. I'm a peach when I'm dressed, but I stop and always just in time.
We queen of them all. We someday you'll fall.
Someday church bells will chime
in triple time.
the fine swing-a-ling of the strip polka, featuring the Andrews Sisters, no less, on station KUWS. So, Lou, what's your big prediction for the new year?
Well, good news and bad news, Jack. We'll be as prosperous as ever, but you know we won't have time to spend it. And for that matter, we won't be able to buy a lot of things. I talked with some of our leading businessmen, and they say that things really picked up in the second half of last year. Well, of all people, our good news person, Harriet Farig, has part of that prediction. A good 1942 to you, dear Harriet.
Oh, Louis, you're such a sensitive man. In one way, it is sad to announce more of our young men leaving for battlefields far away. But in another way, we're so proud of your courage and dedication, boys. Private Ralph Jonathan of Iowa Avenue in Superior is an Army school grad from Fort Riley in Kansas. Private Jonathan now takes his place with a unit in the U.S. Army. And goodness me, today is the last day here for more of our boys from upstate Wisconsin. Local recruiting officer Chester Leroy reports 7 more volunteer recruits will be reporting to the induction center in Wausau tomorrow. Joseph Heyer and Roy Olson of Superior, Clark Corden of South Range, Clifton Barber and Franklin O'Connor of Webster, Oscar Olson of Foxborough, and Robert Susan of Patsu are all saying their goodbyes today. The War Department also sent word that Joe Robert Scher of Hurley has been promoted from lieutenant to major in the Army. And the parents of W.R. Roycroft of Lake Nebagamon, who is stationed at Hamilton Field in California, has earned a promotion to a flying cadet. I was told, Lewis, that just 2 years ago, Sergeant Roycroft was taking flying lessons from Jules Burnt at Superior Municipal Airport. Now he's in the Army Air Force, Lewis.
Well, Harriet, you're so strong giving us those stories of our local men.
They need to be remembered now and for the whole time they're away, Lewis. They're fighting to protect freedoms that have been lost in Japan and Germany and Italy. You know, they burn books and imprison people for simply saying what they think. We can never take freedom of speech for granted.
I'm afraid none of our freedoms are without a price these days.
We wish all of them Godspeed and a quick conclusion to this conflict, of course. Maybe this year it will all end in Europe and the Orient. It can't go on forever, but it sure seems like it.
We can only hope and pray, Jack and Lewis.
That's our broadcast, friends, on the first day of 1942. We'll have more news from Fulton Lewis Jr. at 6 o'clock, Raymond Graham Swing at 9, and the United Press News Roundup at 9:45. As for us, we'll be back, as we like to say, if the good Lord's willing and the creek don't rise. For Lou and Harriet, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942. A weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances provided by Hal Katz. All events reported on Radio Superior are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Your comments are welcome at 394-8530. Or write to us at KUWS Radio, UW Superior, Superior, Wisconsin, 54880. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1942. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.